Good morning. Welcome again to Shaffer Kleinwood, to our semi-unplugged service. We're very privileged to be here. This morning I'm taking us through one of Jesus' parables in the book of Matthew. Now, it's a parable about what in Matthew 25, Jesus he shares three parables about what our approach should be in these times that we live in. Now, as you will know, there will always these conversations about the end times and the signs and these things, but every generation, as Anus has also often so powerfully shared in Hermanus, has had enough signs to know that it's the end times, that we are in that age, that we are waiting for Jesus to return. And this morning I am just going to focus on the first parable in Matthew 25, which really touches on how Jesus wants us personally to be ready at all times, to be ready for Him returning at all times. The other stories or parables in Matthew 25 deal with how He then wants us to steward our gifts in the church. And then lastly, the parable about how He wants us to have a testimony in the world. So I'm teaching about those this morning. I'm going to be focusing on the first one, is the parable that is Him saying, I want you as Christians to be ready in this way. So let's read through it together. It's Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. It will be up on there. If you have your Bibles with you, you can follow in your Bible. And let's read it together. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Okay, firstly, why does Jesus give us a parable which can scare you a little bit like this? It's because his heart is for everyone to be the wise virgin. Okay. He tells us in advance, not so that he can catch us out later. It is his heart. He paid the ultimate price for all to enter into the banquet. If I can use a comparison, I have a confession. I'm a manual reader. So if I buy something, I open the box, and I take out the manual, not the thing, and I look through the manual and I see, okay, this is how it works. So, I bought a portable pool. Yes, now the rest of you need to repent. That's why they put the manuals in the book, in the box. Okay. So I bought a portable pool and opened the manual. This one had several. Identify the right one. And in the manual it says, "Do not swim while the pool pump is on. There is a risk of electrocution." Now, is it the heart of the pool company for me to get electrocuted? No. Right? So if I swim with the pool pump on, is it the pool company's fault if I get electrocuted? No. Right? They want me to swim and enjoy it, and they want me to swim as long as possible and enjoy it, so I switch off the pump. Right? So Jesus also, he says these things to us. He tells these parables so that we will identify with it and apply it in our lives and say, okay, I don't want to be the foolish one here. I want to be the wise one. Lord, teach me, show me. Now, if we look at this parable, we can see the symbolism of the oil, which is generally accepted to be a reference to the Holy Spirit. Okay. So when we read about oil in this parable, we are reading about the Holy Spirit being a part of our lives. You'll see that from the exchange between the wise and the foolish ones, there is this conversation about, can I have some of your oil? No. You need to have your own oil. The Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. His presence in our lives is for each and every one of us. It is the privilege of every believer. But you cannot depend on being in a spirit-filled church, being in a spirit-filled house, being in a spirit-filled small group, if you do not desire the Holy Spirit for yourself. Right? That's one of the big warnings here. But there's something before we get to the oil, and that's for me something that I want to zoom in on a little bit this morning. Before the wise ones had oil, because clearly oil is freely available at the market. Okay? In this parable, you could go 24/7 to the market. So there isn't a limitation on access to the Holy Spirit for a Christian. The difference between the wise ones and the foolish ones is the wise ones had been intentional with creating capacity. They had jars at home. They had jars at home, and I'm sure the foolish ones had as well. But the wise ones had jars at home that they prioritized for the oil, and they took it with them. There we go. They had capacity to bring oil with them. And that takes intent. It takes planning. And it takes sacrifice sometimes. If you have a jar that can be used for several purposes in your house, then obviously prioritizing the keeping of oil in it will come at the cost of something else. If we were to turn that around on the foolish ones, like I said, I don't believe for a minute they didn't have jars at home. The issue was, they didn't think it was a priority. Right? They were willing to go out to meet the bridegroom, so they were willing to believe and to know he's coming. But it's not a priority to take oil with, because he must come on my terms. He must come because I have only this with me, so he must come while I am ready with my supply. And that is for me the issue here. That the wise ones had made sure they had the oil with them because they did not know whether he would come at what hour. And they did not dictate to the bridegroom when he should come. But that leads me to when I was going through this parable with the Lord and praying and asking the Holy Spirit, okay, what do we see here? We see the foolish ones being indifferent, right? They are indifferent to the possibility that they are going to need something more than that what's right now in their hands. What makes us indifferent? That's the question for me. What makes me be foolish and be indifferent as opposed to wise, where you make capacity and you have the, you pursue the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Now, there are many things that can make us indifferent. There are two things that I want to highlight this morning, because I feel that's what the Lord has placed on my heart for this morning. The first one, I want to go to a scripture in Exodus. If we read in Exodus 6, verse 6 to 9. Now, what I want you to keep in mind here is, before this account that we're going to read together, Moses had already spoken to the elders of the Israelites and said, God is going to come and deliver you and take you to a promised land. And just keep in mind, he's only going to do that after he has shown his wonders to the Egyptians. He's shown his power to the Egyptians. So that was the prophecy that Moses brought. Then he goes to Pharaoh and says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no, make it harder for them. I don't know who this Moses guy is. Make it harder for them. And then we get to this, where the Lord now sends Moses again. And if we read together, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of the discouragement and harsh labor. Now, the Israelites had, like I said, they had heard what Moses had said to them from the Lord previously. But what they had focused on was the fact that they are leaving, and their expectation was they are leaving right away. This is going to change like this. We have a prophecy. The second part of that prophecy was, I'm going to show Egypt my wonders, and then Pharaoh will let you go. So that part they hadn't understood. And there was therefore a delay between the prophecy and the fulfillment. And because of what happened in between, their hearts were discouraged. And they didn't believe Moses at that time anymore. You know, and sometimes we find ourselves in the same place where we become discouraged. We have heard something from the Lord. We know what he has promised and that he will fulfill it. But because there's a delay, there is a deferment. And our hope has been placed on the fulfillment and not on the fulfiller of the prophecy. And that delay causes us to become discouraged. And that discouragement can lead to the indifference, where we don't think that we should pursue the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives anymore. Now, what we can remind ourselves this morning is that although they were discouraged, God is still faithful, and he still delivered them. He still fulfilled his word, his promise to the Israelites. But the thing that we need to do in that time of waiting is to turn our hope again to the promise maker, to the one who has spoken, and not on the fulfillment itself. Then we can wait and endure. We can worship while we wait. and not be discouraged. You know, there's a similar example that happens on the scale of one man, not a nation, in Matthew 11 with John the Baptist and Jesus. John the Baptist he obviously baptized Jesus. He testified, this is the Messiah, and he prophesied. He is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will throw the chaff into the fire. Right? So this was in John the Baptist's mind, but then there is a delay, because we know that prophecy is for when Jesus actually returns. You know, when he returns in glory, it will not be the same as when he came the first time. But for John the Baptist, he finds himself in this place in Matthew 11 where he is imprisoned because of righteousness. He went to the king and said, this is what you are doing with your brother's wife. This is sin. And the consequence for him is he was imprisoned and he becomes discouraged because Jesus has arrived. The Messiah has come. Why does he not burn the king? Right? And he sends his disciples to Jesus and he says, are you the one? And Jesus' response to this discouraged heart is very interesting. He says, go tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor, but blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Saying to John, don't be offended by my timing. Don't be offended by who I am. You were right. These things can only be done by the Messiah. You were right. You identified correctly. But I am God and I will fulfill in my time. Don't be offended at that. And that is for us this morning as well. An opportunity to turn away from discouragement if you are in that place where you have heard from the Lord, but the time has not come yet. To turn back to Him, to put your hope in the fulfiller of the promise and not the promise itself. Now there's a second aspect that I want to touch on this morning, and that is, we read it here, another possible cause for discouragement and an indifferent heart. If we read in Isaiah 40, verse 27 to 31, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now this is about an individual who believes that what he is going through is not seen by God. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in this situation where we think that clearly God does not see my situation, because if he did, he would change it. We make this assumption. Now, we haven't pressed in necessarily with the Lord, but we have a serious need, a serious situation, and we believe, well, it's clearly hidden from him, or he doesn't care, because otherwise he would do something about it. Now, the first response to this heart by the Holy Spirit in these verses is to remind the heart that God is the everlasting God, the Creator who does not grow weak, tired, or weary, and has understanding no one can fathom. He is not like you. He sees everything. He knows where you are. But then the Holy Spirit in these verses reminds us. He is the God who is ready to give strength and power to the weak, to the ones who place their hope in Him. You know, even if, in other words, if the situation does not change, He is sufficient, if you place your hope in Him, to empower you for those circumstances. He is able, He is enough. Now, when we get offended by this, it also causes us discouragement. Because, you know, we want to see the end from the beginning. There is only one who sees the end from the beginning. He is risen. We need to come back again in this place to see that He is the everlasting God, the Creator who does not grow tired or weary and has understanding no one can fathom. To believe again that He is good, even if the situation is not good. And He is able to empower you through the situation, whatever it may be. The promise in these verses is that in that place of waiting or hoping on Him, He will give us power, He will give us strength for the circumstances. It does not say whether the circumstances changed for Isaiah who recorded this. You know, so these two things that I've highlighted this morning, the discouragement that may come because of the delay between the fulfillment and the promise, in that place, like the Israelites, we have a choice, like John the Baptist, to place our hope. He is the Messiah. Jesus is the one, the Son of God. Be reminded to put our hope in Him while we wait. And in this place where we may have made assumptions that just because the circumstances are not good, that God is going to change them, and when He doesn't, we become discouraged. In that place, once again, the answer is to remind ourselves, He is good, He is everlasting, He is all-knowing. If you place your hope and your trust in Him and what He has already done for us, He will give us the strength we need to endure the circumstances. You know, we go through life and these things happen, and they are opportunities for our hearts to become calloused and hard. And what the Lord is asking of us this morning is to be intentional with those situations, with these opportunities, and to take them to Him and to let Him heal our hearts, because it is in opening our eyes to see who He really is and hearing what He says to us, what the gospel is, the good news that He has made a way for us to be with Him forever, that our hearts are healed and those calluses are removed. That soft heart is one that has created a capacity, that has jars of clay within which to pursue the presence of the Holy Spirit, to prioritize the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is our greatest privilege as Christians to have that relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done. Because Jesus came, Him who knew no sin, He came, He died on a cross that was not His own, for sin that was not His, so that we could have a relationship with the Father. And He rose from the grave. God raised Him from the dead so that we could have life. And this is the privilege of every Christian, is to have that intimacy with the Father through the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done, because of nothing else. I want to jump to Hebrews 12. You know, this is after the roll call of the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. Wise virgins that have made it. We know they are part of the cloud of witnesses. They are listed there. And then we get to Hebrews 12. And the author of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So this morning I've touched on two things that hinder. The third thing is the sin that so easily entangles. This verse, to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, I had to go through a period of disciplining my body because I like to run, and I had a little issue with a running injury, and I heard from the Lord. I was running on the beach, on the soft sand. And I was running and ran out, and on the way back, because I ran a distance on the soft sand, I could see my footprints, and I was reminded of this verse, because it says here that Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And I realized that in this life, Jesus has made the footprints for us. Because running out was hard on the soft sand, but running back was a lot easier on the same soft sand, because there were footprints that were my stride. And Jesus has done that for us. He is the pioneer of our faith. He came down, went ahead of us, and then He comes back to run with us in those footprints. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I want us to take a moment and reflect on our hearts, the condition of our hearts, whether there are areas where we have this discouragement, whether it is because of the delay And in the meantime, of the, in the time of the delay, we have placed our hope on the fulfillment and not the fulfiller. Or whether it is because we made an assumption that because the situation is not good, God must change it. And there is also the sin that entangles. Let us not leave here this morning without doing that business with the Lord, where we bring those things before Him. So Father, we thank You that Your word is good, that Your words will remain and that mine will fade. Father, we thank You that You have given us Your word. Jesus, that You came to reveal who the Father is for us, and that Your heart is for all of us to make it to the banquet. Thank You that we can identify things in our lives where we may not think it is worth it to make a jar available for Your Holy Spirit to fill. I pray that we would turn from that and turn our eyes to You, Jesus. That every part of our lives is the part that You paid for to lead us in. If you are here this morning and you have not put your faith in Jesus, you have put your faith in other things, and you've become discouraged, or you have never put your faith in Jesus before, you've considered it sufficient to be in a spirit-filled church, small group or family, this morning the Father is drawing you and asking you to choose, to put your hope, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He has raised Him from the dead. If that is you this morning, in your seat, just raise your hand to the Father. He is the one who sees. He wants to come and bring you home. His heart is for you to make it to the banquet. Thank you. You can drop your hands again. If you have come to this place of discouragement, where you are indifferent, where you are seated, speak to the Lord about it. It is a conversation that needs to carry on after this, in this week. But start the conversation today. Today is the day of salvation, the day of deliverance from a calloused heart. If you came with someone and you feel that you want to pray with them about this, I'll give you a moment. I will also be here after we close the service in the front to pray with you. If you have a need, if you want to pray with someone to confess that Jesus is Lord, I will be in the front here. If you feel the need to pray with someone. Let's stand together. Father, I thank You that we are welcome here this morning, every one of us, no matter our creed or culture, where we come from, this is your house. And everyone is welcome here. And Father, I pray that this word would be fruit in our lives, that in those times where we become discouraged and indifferent, we would be reminded to make capacity, to turn to you, to let our hearts be softened. Let your Holy Spirit come and fill these jars in our lives. Father, I pray for every person here that they would experience the joy of knowing. The joy of knowing that they are on their way to the banquet. We do not know the date, but we know we got an RSVP. We got an invitation. And Father, I ask that you would keep us by your grace, that you would keep us. You are faithful, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Craig, for that wonderful message. I want to encourage you this week to ponder upon those points, to search your heart and your mind, to see how you can apply what you've heard today. Please don't just rush out. We have lovely coffee and tea in the back. Make a point of hanging around, talking to someone maybe that you haven't met before. Otherwise, go out there, have a blessed Sunday. Try and get near to a beach. That's why we live here. And pray for us. And if we don't see you through the week, we'll see you here next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you.